Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Today I want us to look at some challenges that congregations must meet if we want to continue to glorify God and if we want to move forward in our desire to serve God faithfully. As we think about challenges, oftentimes we think about trials or difficulties, and by all means, that certainly comes with that word challenge. But yet at the same time, as we look at it today, not only do I want us to find that there are things that will be difficult for us from time to time as a congregation, but I want us to look at that word challenge as an invitation to overcome the challenges and to look at the blessings that God bestows upon us as a motivation to move forward, that we might continue to grow both spiritually and numerically in the sight of our God. As we think of the challenges today that I want to present, first off, I want us to understand that there is a challenge for us to always stand united as our God's people, as the kingdom of God. In that, I contend that growing congregations will indeed face various trials throughout life. And this should not be surprising to us. Why? Because the congregation is really and truly made up from people from every walk of life. When I think about that, I want us to understand that every single one of us come from various families that differ from one another. While there are similarities within our families, yet there are traditions and there are things that certainly we grew up in different ways. But not only whenever it comes to our family relationships, as we deal with people who come into the church, as we deal with individuals that we study with and that we teach and they obey Christ in baptism, they come from various walks of life that you and I need to understand can indeed bring some hurdles into the church. Take into consideration individuals who have been brought up in religion, but yet at the same time they've been brought up in false religion, in denominational doctrines. And as they come to an understanding of the truth, it will take time, and it does indeed take from time to time a lot of time and continual teaching for them to fully embrace and to completely understand the will of God. And these things can face the church with multiple trials and challenges as we move forward in our desire to glorify God. And as a result of the things that we face, we need to understand that Satan is always in the backdrop. He is lurking around the corner to present opportunities to challenge you and me individually, but friends, also to challenge us as a congregation. He will challenge us as he has, and I can tend he and believe he will continue to do with individuals who might want to bring in false doctrine. He will challenge us with trivial matters from time to time. And in all, God wants us to understand is that every congregation, as we stand independently, yet at the same time universally as the Lord's church, God wants elders to serve in the church, and those elders must lead the congregation with wisdom. As elders in the church, we have a huge role to play, not only to make sure certain that truth is being taught, but that the congregation is working towards being united and always coming together as the people of God. And as an eldership here at East End, we are constantly thinking about these things, praying for these matters, and working with our deacons as well as collectively as a congregation to help us to be unified and to stand faithfully as the children of God. Christians, individually, as well as collectively, we are expected to stand as a united body. And what does that mean? It means that we need to see that God wants us to be united. He is not about division. In fact, He condemns division. And as we come to an understanding that God wants us to be this family unit, we're thinking in terms of that. And as we are thinking in terms of being united, we are continually then studying the Scripture so that there is not this division amongst us with matters of doctrine, but rather that we are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same reason when it comes to the Scripture. And as we think about being bonded together, being this unified family member, also God wants us to think about not only being doctrinally correct, but also then working for the same goals, realizing that every single one of us has a very significant role to play in helping new Christians to feel like they are part of the church family. Not only welcoming them in, but in like figure, as we welcome them in, is that we welcome them into our circle, if you would, into the church family, and that we work with them. We reach out to them, and we do all that we can to help them to establish connections and bonds within the body to help us to move forward as the body of Christ. But friends, also, as I stand before you this morning, I tell you that we must face the challenge to remember our works as the body, as the true church of Christ. Liberal religionists want to focus upon matters of entertainment. And this is nothing new. This is something that we have seen for several years. We find this in the denominational world, where that they no longer focus upon preaching and teaching the Word of God, but rather it is about sermonettes and about telling cute stories that really and truly do not apply to spiritual matters. There's nothing at all wrong with making illustrations or telling stories that will help us to make the sense, give the understanding of what it is that God expects us to do. But as we look to the denominational world, the religious world as a whole, they're not focusing upon true matters of doctrine. And friends, sadly, as I stand before you today, I tell you that that same mindset, at least in part, has rolled over into the church. And now we have liberal brethren. And whenever I say liberal brethren, they're taking liberty where that God does not give us. They're going beyond in the Scripture. And there are also those who do not go far enough, and we identify them as anti. They are against going what as far as God commissions us to go. But the liberals are taking advancements where God says that we cannot. And a part of this is seen in the fact that they want to build gymnasiums and things of that nature in order for them to reach out into a community. And they're no longer allowing the Word of God to be the draw, but rather that draw is centered in and around entertainment and having things for people to do. And yet at the same time, as I say it all that, I want us to realize there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with us fellowshipping with each other. We need that in order for us to be bonded together as a family of God. But yet, it must not be centered in and around entertainment and entertainment alone. Why? Because it is to be about our God. You see, New Testament Christianity is really to be centered in and around serving God. About serving God according to the standards that He complied, or that would bring us into compliance with what He says in the New Testament Scripture. We are to look to our lives and to understand that we are put here for a purpose, for a reason. And sometimes it's hard for young people to get that understanding, but I must admit that sometimes it's even difficult for those who might be older or mature to even grasp as to why we are really and truly here. We live in an age today where so many people live for the moment. They live for the time in which they're in, and therefore they allow their school of thought and that situation to dictate or to govern where they're going to go in life with any given situation or opportunity that they are presented. Yet as Christian, God calls us to a higher understanding and also a higher responsibility. He wants us to realize that we are here because He has created us after His image, and we are created after His image then to serve in His image while we are here. Our lives must center in and around reaching out for God, glorifying God. And how do we do that? Friends, we do that individually, but we also do that collectively as a body of believers. And we do that as we look to one another and we find that our brothers and sisters have needs. We reach out to one another and strive to help with needs that are within the brotherhood. But then in like figure, we look to the world and we see the lost and dying world, and we have an obligation whenever we have opportunities conjoined with the ability to reach out unto these souls and to help them during their times of need. And whenever we help these individuals, we need to understand that the blessings that we have in our life and the abilities that we have been given, they have been given to us from God. They are blessings from God. And the interesting thing of it is that God blesses us with multiple talents. And yet at the same time, too often, so many of us can be so guilty of burying our talents and not using them. If we use our talents, the Bible tells us through the parable, but also through inference of other passages, that God will increase our talents. He will bless us beyond measure, so that we will be able to not only go through life, but so that we will, in going through life, be able to serve Him to the fullest capacity that will glorify Him in measures or ways that you and I might not even be able to comprehend at this present age or at the time of which we are at. Congregations must be involved in working the Lord's works while we are here. And there are three primary areas that we need to consider this morning. As we think about working the works of the Lord, friends, we have an obligation to be benevolent. Benevolence is a very significant aspect of the work that we are to be engaged in. And therefore, we look out into the world, we look inward even to one another, and we see things that people are lacking, and we do all that is within our power to do to meet those needs. That is serving God through benevolence. But then also there's that area of edification. We're to work unto building one another up, and certainly seeing needs and doing what we can to meet those needs, that will help to build one another up. But friends, also from time to time, and I contend most of the time, what we need as one another is just to be there for one another, for each other, as brothers and sisters, as family members, to pat our brothers and sisters on the back whenever they're doing well. Maybe they've done well in school or younger, and we say to them, "We are so pleased and proud of you." Or maybe one of our members has done well by graduating from college or from a trade school, or they've been able to be promoted with their work and things of that nature. We need to reach out to those members and to say to them, "We rejoice with you for your accomplishments in life, and we are proud of you. We're pleased with you for the things that you're doing to the glory of God and in your life and for your family." But also we need to be there to help lift one another up on an ongoing basis whenever things are not so well. We have a huge responsibility to reach out in benevolence and edification, but also in evangelism. We must be doing all that we can to proclaim Jesus Christ to the world. Friends, we are commanded by God in the New Testament Scripture to imitate the first century church. And in the Lord's church, we from time to time will speak about New Testament Christianity and the need to restore New Testament Christianity. And often we will speak in reference to restoration of New Testament Christianity back to the Restoration Movement, and rightfully so. But I believe that there is an area in the Restoration Movement that we have not reached at this point, and that is the area of personal evangelism, reaching out unto the lost and dying world. And maybe that, in part, is because we do not look at our fellow man the same way in which God looks at every human. God sees every single person as a soul. And if you and I are ever going to be able to be successful in reaching the world with the good news about the salvation that God extends in and through Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior, we need to be looking at souls instead of people. We need to be looking at these individuals as souls who will someday stand before the presence of our God. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we were able to have every member of the church evangelistic minded, seeking to evangelize the lost? And there are indeed opportunities for us to be able to do that. Brother Neil puts together those opportunities with Autumn Street Fair and such, and that'll be coming up in September, if memory serves me correct, and we need to come together collectively, and we have done that successfully over the last couple of years in reaching out to our community, and this congregation does it in so many other ways, through Bible call and also through our closing drives, and the ladies especially do it over here with one another in sewing quilts, putting those needs together to meet those needs that are out there, putting those things together. Yet at the same time, I want to challenge every one of us. I want to invite every single member to think about evangelism and to see ways that you can do it individually, but also to be involved in the ways in which we are striving to reach out to the lost and dying world as a congregation. If you're invited to do those works personally, would you accept that invitation or would you reject it by having an excuse to go on and to do something else? And as I think about that, I think about what Christ came to do when He lived here upon the face of the earth. There are a number of things that fit into that category as it pertains to the will of God. But the primary focus of Christ while He was here, I believe, is found in a purpose statement in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. I came to seek and to save those who were lost. He was invited to that end. And friends, He gave His life to that end. And God expects you and me to give our lives to that very end today in proclaiming Christ unto every soul that we come in contact with. You know, God tells us that He will bless us beyond measure. Not only will He increase our talents, but friends, He will also increase our numbers. We have seen that as we've reached out. We have been blessed to be able to have souls who are putting Christ on in baptism every single year. I know since we've been here and as we look at the history of this congregation, you have been very successful in that. And we want to continue not only to have the numbers grow as we have seen, but let's continue to grow our ability to grow numbers for the sake to understand that these numbers represent souls. Souls that will stand in the presence of God to give an account of their life, as each and every one of us will in that great day. But friends, also, as I stand before you this morning, I want to challenge each and every one of us that we need to understand that there is a challenge for us to live above pettiness. Solid churches, sound congregations can be torn apart by trivial matters. On matters of doctrine, we must never compromise. But whenever it comes to things that at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. When it comes to matters of opinion, we need to understand that this might be my opinion and it might be your opinion. And therefore, we can agree to disagree on those things. Not on matters of doctrine, but on those things that it does not matter, on the things that the Lord does not write about, whether or not commandments. Where there are commandments, we stand, but on trivial matters, as to what color the walls are painted, that does not matter. As to what type of carpet is laid down, as to if we're going to get together at 10 o'clock to meet for a fellowship, or if we're going to get together at noon, those things don't amount to a hill of beans, as we oftentimes will say. But you know, it's interesting as you look to divisions that have taken place in the Lord's church. Sadly, oftentimes, it's those things that are trivial that tear congregations apart. God warns us about childish behavior. There was a time where all of us can relate with being a child. Our understanding was not to the level as what we are today as mature adults. And therefore, we spake as a child, we acted as a child. And the same concept is there when we think about Christianity. And newborn babes in Christ, there are a lot of things that they don't understand and therefore they're going to act childish. But mature Christians embrace a greater understanding, and as a result of that greater understanding, we have a larger responsibility to act accordingly as mature saints, as Christians, really and truly, as it is defined in the New Testament Scripture. We must put away childish behavior, and for that reason then, we must be careful with our words. Why? Because whenever we put our words out there, you can't take them out. Amen? when they're on the table, they're there, and you can't take it back. But also, not only with regards to our words, we've got to be very careful with our treatment of one another. Families who are close with one another consider their words as well as their actions. And as a church family, we must always understand that we must not allow petty things to come between us, and that we must do all that is within our power to do individually and even collectively to make sure that we do not tear one another apart. And to understand that when we think about the church, the ecclesia, the called out, the church is not a place that we go. I studied with some children this last week in their home, and we talked about the church, and to begin with, I asked, I said, what is the church? And they said, well, it's something we come to. And it's not. The church is a called out body of believers. And as the church, we come together to worship and to praise our God. And as we think about the church is bigger than any one individual soul. Amen. The church will someday be delivered back up into our Heavenly Father. And friends, I don't ever want to be charged before God or even charged before my brethren for ever saying or doing anything that would have hindered the body of Christ while we are here. There are various challenges that we must face as a congregation who seeks to glorify God and who seeks to continue to grow, to abound, both spiritually and numerically. Let's understand those challenges and let's meet those challenges, the invitations that God lays before us. And then let's use our desire to please God as a motivation to always move forward in the commandments that God lays in front of us. This morning, if you're here and you're outside of the body of Christ, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to you to become a Christian, to become as we are, to have your sins washed away, to be added into the Lord's church, that you might then be raised from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. If you're here and you want to put Christ on in baptism, we want to assist you in that this morning. It may be that we have members who are here who have allowed their lives to stray, and you've gone back into the living way of the world, and that you come to understand that that has separated you from God. Friends, we want you to know today that we love you, God loves you, and God also invites you back unto a faithful relationship with Him. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in that manner, we would love to receive you and to pray with you and for you. We invite all who are subject to the call.